Marvin Gaye, this is Eric Mann. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Voices from the Frontline segment of the 4 o'clock Public Affairs Hours on KPFK, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and streaming on the web for the world at www.kpfk.org. My name is Eric Mann. I'll be your host today. I'm going to introduce the three guests in a minute, but I just wanted to thank a lot of you who used the 4 o'clock hour of Voices from the Frontlines 2 weeks ago, I believe it was, to make your contributions to KPFK. We raised $2,700 during that hour thanks to Alan Minsky and myself, and also, most importantly, probably the Black Panther Party, whose studies and whose recordings we played for a lot of the time. The only apology I want to make is that next time, if I do it again, I'm sorry that we didn't thank a lot of you. The way that it works is that I'm sitting in a studio here, and I have a glass where I can see, and I can see the sound people, and I can see the producer. But then behind that is another room where they were taking all the donations. But they weren't waving to me throughout the mirror and say, hey, look, things are going great. So I didn't know a lot of people were saying, God, the way you were saying it, I was wondering if anyone was giving money. So, in fact, people were giving money. You were giving money. We raised $2,700. And next time, if I'm asked to do the fund drive, I will read the donations as they're coming in. So thank you so much for those who were not acknowledged but did a great job. So let's hear about the three guests we have, and then we're going to begin. On Tuesday, the LAUSD voted to change their student suspension policy with the goal of reducing the tens of thousands of suspension that are issued yearly. In fact, it's 70,000. We're joined today by Macy Chin, director of CADRE, an organization of Black and Latino parents in South L.A. that's been working hard to change that policy. Then, as we approach the fourth anniversary of the U.S. invasion of Iraq, opposition to the war is growing. Greg Akili joins us today to discuss a new organization, African Americans Against the War. And then finally, last Monday, John Negroponte, former director of National Intelligence, also known as the Arch Torturer, was appointed Assistant Secretary of State. Joining us to address the danger of his appointment is Larry Burns, director of the Council on Hemispheric Affairs. So stay tuned. We'll be right back, and we'll be back with Macy Chin. Okay, you want me to sing? Oh, we're going to come really right back. Maisie, how you doing? Maisie, are you on?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. How are you doing, Maisie? Maisie, well, thanks for being with us. You know,
absolutely.
So I was reading, of course, in preparation for the show. It says Los Angeles Board of Education on Tuesday adopted a new district-wide discipline policy aimed at decreasing the number of students suspended and kept after school for misbehaving. The unanimous vote Tuesday evening ushers in the first such policy for the nation's second-largest district. Although the district already has an expulsion policy in place to deal with the most violent and egregious discipline cases, principals and teachers have had no formal policy to rely on for guidance on other discipline problems. Well, it seems like they had some policy because they suspended 70,000 students out of 72,000 students out of 700,000. Why don't you tell us about a little bit about the work of CADRE, how you went into that meeting, and how good was it a victory? And if so, explain to us what's the texture of what you really won.
Well, absolutely. The policy actually is it's called a discipline foundation policy, and it's what you mentioned earlier is actually true. It doesn't change the existing suspension policy or the opportunity transfer policy or the expulsion policies. It actually is providing a guiding framework to all stakeholders at every school, at every level throughout the district, on how to be preventive and proactive in making sure that student behavior doesn't escalate to the point where it requires the more egregious removals, you know, suspension, transfers, expulsions. And Kadri really came into this because we are organizing parents. We are entire focus is on fulfilling, you know, having the district and the schools fulfill the human right to participation for our parents at their schools. And that includes the right to monitor, hold accountable, raise issues, et cetera, that violate their children's and or their human rights to a quality education. An education that respects their dignity, that respects their right to have their basic needs met, et cetera. And so, you know, contrary to probably what many, many people realize, is that student discipline is not just, it's not just a parenting issue, it's not just a school management issue, it's not just a classroom training issue, it's not just a teacher issue or a counseling issue, but it's an issue where we believe is right now where some of the biggest tensions and the biggest sacrifices are being made. Misbehavior, just as in, you know, the student discipline is very similar to crime in this country. It is very much associated with negative stereotypes and very racist views of communities, young people, their parents. And at this point, there has to be a way to stop the discretionary use of suspensions and other forms of removal from the classroom. Because once they're removed, their right to an education has been taken from them.
Well, let's assume that we completely agree, which we do, and that, you know, I'd even go a little further or add on, which is, if in fact for 25 years, Black and Latino communities have been virtually abandoned in terms of any social welfare program, thoroughly policed, treated like an occupying army, mm-hmm. treated in a colonial manner, what makes you think the kids are supposed to be well-behaved? Why do we start with the premise that a kid shows up as a little Bill Cosby after the entire community has been gutted, where there are drugs in the community, the police are going crazy? So you're up in this very difficult situation, which is we know we don't want 700,000, 70,000 students suspended, but how do we accept the fact that there are, quote, behavior problems? And what if those behavior problems are a normal response to an abnormal situation?
Right. And actually, that's and there's going to be many agendas behind this policy. There's a lot of common ground, and then everyone will certainly want to achieve different results with this policy. But what Kadri wants is for that reality that you just spoke of, the fact that there are individual situations, that there cannot be a blanket response to students, period, and let alone their quote-unquote misbehavior, and that, in fact, many of them are responding to a very oppressive environment that causes them to not just act differently or act in a way that brings attention or negative attention, but in addition that there are needs that are not being met, and quite frankly, somebody and everybody, and the school included, has to take responsibility for the conditions in which our children are in, and that we have to remedy them by not punishing them for things that they are responding to. Now, you know, as you said, I mean, that's a premise that not everyone's going to agree on, because we agree, of course, that this is endemic of a situation that's been in South LA for decades. And what we're going forward with is hoping that this policy will not only bring different people to the table to solve these problems, but in so doing, illuminate the fact that the community needs a different response compared to punishment, you know, compared to, let me just remove you, let me jail you, let me incarcerate you, let me labor you to the point where nobody wants you but the penal institution.
Well, let me ask you this, Macy, that given that this is a reform victory, and it is a victory,
mm-hmm.
how do you take a victory and make sure that it really happens? What are your next steps? What do you want the LAUSD to do? And what's Kadri's possibility as a small organization like we all are to really enforce the next step of this to be better for the young people in the schools?
Well, what the policy does, and we're going to use it, you know, this is our handle on it, is that it really focuses on the fact that suspensions and other automatic removals are not supposed to happen automatically or too subjectively, and that there are supposed to be more problem solving and due process, and that the families are supposed to be brought into that process, and that Furthermore, there's going to be data that's going to be collected to monitor whether or not schools are actually taking all the necessary steps before they do something specific like remove or suspend. And that's what we are going to be using. We are going to be training grassroots parents, Black and Latino, English-speaking, non-English-speaking, what have you, at various grade levels, not just high school or middle school, but even elementary school, to really understand this policy, know what is supposed to happen with their children when so they misbehave according to the school, and what's supposed to happen in the problem-solving process, and then what the data, and making sure we have access to the data so that we know that there are steps being taken prior to removing children from the classroom and their learning environment.
What was the role of the UTLA? How strongly, I mean, I know that having taught in the public schools, you have a certain number of teachers that are absolutely overwhelmed and exasperated, mm-hmm. and their answer to everything is get them out of my class, right? I mean, I can't handle this kid.
Right.
You know, first bring them down to the principal's office. The principal's office is filled to the brim with kids. Okay, let's suspend them. What role, who played the most genuinely progressive role in this? Who fought very hard for this? Besides you guys, of course, who led the struggle?
Well, you know, I think that there are progressive parts from everyone's vantage point. And what I mean by that is that there were district staff who could see the gaps in the existing policies and practices that saw, you know, that did an incredible amount of research to make sure that the policy was well thought out and done with, you know, focused completely on prevention and really gave the most room for there to be partnership and collaboration and community problem solving around student discipline. Then the teachers union, you're absolutely right. They are overwhelmed. We work with many teachers and we know that they're overwhelmed and we certainly are not trying to ignore that. At the same time, the reaction that you just detailed where, you know, the simplest thing is to remove children from the classroom, we want to make sure that that's not the only option for teachers. And there are obviously members within UTLA that made sure this policy passed because they also foresee the need to train teachers, to give teachers more options and to increase the learning time and teaching time for everybody involved. And so this became an opportunity to provide more training and support to teachers. And then for us and other community allies that support this policy, it also very much is very focused on the fact that parents and even students themselves can be brought into this process to really figure out what is justice for this behavior, what is restitution for this behavior, what should be done when these things happen on campus, and to move closer to much more of a shared power, democratic school environment.
Well, let me ask you this. In terms of the broader context of the criminalization of Black and Latino youth, almost from the cradle to the grave.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, today Mayor Villaraigosa is meeting with the arch right winger Rudy Giuliani,
right.
who's also meeting with Attorney General Rocky Delgadillo.
Right.
They're all getting together to talk about and Lee Baca.
Mm-hmm.
So they're talking about how to suppress gangs, and as if Rudy Giuliani is the new model for, I guess, shooting somebody 45 times when they're not armed, maybe a good beginning. According to this theory, what's been you dealing with the mayor? Because we're pretty disappointed that the mayor has been so, in our opinion, conservative to reactionary on law and order issues. Did he play any role in this fight?
No, he didn't. Although during his campaign to have some partial control of the district, one of the solutions that he put forward had to do with dealing with the 10% of the kids that ruin it for everybody else. And so in some cases, it would have included the very children and youth that we want this policy to benefit. We certainly believe that in most people, and not just the mayor, but many, many individuals and many, many stakeholder groups, want there to be a law and order approach to student discipline. And many of the things that are being put forward as gang suppression or intervention or even ironically, prevention, very much are the law and order approach that we're hoping to stave off with a more proactive, preventive approach to school discipline. And so it is very disturbing that we can pass a policy that's focused on prevention one day, and at the same time what's happening in the very same schools that we want this policy to impact, you know, there are prosecutors being assigned to certain middle schools. You know, there are tickets being issued to parents. There are incredible amount of legal law enforcement activities being used to suppress gangs. So it's a catch-22, and our goal is that this policy does in some way bring light to the fact that when you don't prevent and you aren't proactive, that it escalates into the type of situations that then cause everyone to react and call law enforcement. So there is a continuum that we are trying to achieve. We are trying to affect the end result of there being total police state at schools.
That's right.
We are trying to end that. And it may not be everyone's desire to see that impact of this policy, but it certainly is ours. Our parents have kids who have been tossed out, have been locked up. They are the parents of those kids. And so we want this policy to really put a dent into the reactionary tactics of all adults towards young people, frankly, that cause them to be really seen as wards of the state more than anything. So at this point, you know, we have to fight this battle. We are going to do our best at the grassroots level to connect everything we're doing around this discipline policy to those very efforts that you just mentioned, so that people can see the continuum. That's why we're doing this. We're not doing this because we just wanted a new discipline policy. We certainly want to keep more children and youth in school, but primarily also we want to change the school and the conditions that they're in.
Well, I think that's great. And talking about Macy Chen of Cadre, and I think that the thing that's great about what you're saying is, you know, the Bus Riders Union Strategy Center has a campaign called 1,000 More Buses, 1,000 mm-hmm. Less Police. And 1,000 less police is 1,000 more buses is to get the young people to school. So if you can imagine it, what you do, young students are getting truancy tickets for coming to school. They're getting
right.
truancy tickets, not for staying home, but for being late to school, whether it's the bus or family problems. And then as you pointed out, I mean, for the mayor to say that we want to crack down on the 10% of youth who are ruining it for everyone else. So according to this theory, you see, all the other 90% of these happy little Latino and black, maybe Democratic Party elected officials with big smiles and everybody on the other 10% are hardcore gangbangers, when in fact, these are kids. These are low-income black and Latino youth. So for the mayor to be scapegoating 10% of the youth who are ruining it, quote, for everyone, is another part of the indictment that we're working on. We look forward to working with you. I think it is a victory, and I want to thank you for winning an ideological victory, because too often today, people win certain reforms, but they don't change the debate. And I think you've done a really good job in changing the debate. And with that, quickly tell us how we can reach your organization. We're going to make a transition to our next guest, Macy.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us on the show.
Sure.
Cadre can be reached at area code 323-752-9997. We don't have a website yet, but you could also email info@cadre.la.org.
Great work, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much.
Bye. So, thank you, Macy. You're listening to Voices from the Frontlines on KPFK 90.7 FM and 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. I'm Eric Mann, your host. We'll be right back with our next guest, Gregory Akili, who's going to talk about African Americans against the war. Hope we got some music.